This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios. Speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? You better visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That is 208-467-7468.
Welcome to Curating Boise, the podcast that celebrates the hustlers and the shakers, the ones that took the short route of being their own creative boss right away, or the ones that left their corporate jobs like me, your host, Catherine Wojcik. Hey everyone, it's Catherine Wojcik here from Curating Boise, and I'm going to change it up a little bit today. I've been focusing the last, I think, four episodes specifically on those cool cats that are here in Boise that help curate Boise, but I'm reaching out a little farther to some very good friends and a couple that are on their way to be, for lack of a better word, a dynasty. Lynn and Tiffany Bachman, they're from Bruno, Idaho, but the way they are connecting to Curating Boise is through their business called Farmhouse Provisions that focuses on their I guess, homegrown organic.
Yeah, we're not organic.
Not organic, but homegrown.
Yep.
Homegrown beef and how they bring it into Boise. And I feel like that does curate Boise just on the food side, which I don't usually concentrate too much on because we have a lot of other really great podcasts that do. But I love their product, and I love this couple, and we're going to chat with both of them about Farmhouse Provisions. But first, what are we drinking, Tiffany?
We are drinking a Powder House, a session ale.
Yeah. I was looking for White Dog Brewing River Beer, specifically for Lynn, because he really likes that beer. Dan, couldn't find it.
Come on, Dan.
Come on, Dan. We need it. I couldn't find it at Albertsons, the Co-op, or Whole Foods. I know. And they're closed on Monday and Tuesday. Otherwise, I would have driven over there to grab a six-pack. But Tyler of Powder House, I've now had your beer on here like three times. So if you're listening to this podcast, Tyler, you're going to be on soon. I need you on this podcast. All right, let's crack our beers. Let's give it a go. We got to crack our beers. Those listening, you know the drill. Grab a beer. Pour yourself a bourbon, whatever. Sit back and listen to this conversation with this fine couple. So I'm going to start out with, Lynn. So Lynn, I was doing a little bit of background, like trying to, I Googled Lynn Bachman. That's the first thing you do, right? You got to Google a name. And I was very impressed with what came up on Google. One of the cool things I found out, which I kind of already knew, but are you still on the board of the Owyhee Cattlemen's Association?
No, I. It's kind of a 6-year term, and I was actually on the board for seven, and went off a couple, 2 years ago, year and a half ago.
Okay, you were serving as president, right?
Yeah, I did a 4-year stand on or 5-year stand on the board of directors, and then went to vice president, president, and then past president.
Okay, and one of the interesting things about you being the president of the Owyhee Cattlemen's Association is I also saw that you were the youngest president to serve on that board. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
That fun statistic?
Huh.
Yeah. So, and what I also found out, too, is that the Owyhee Kettleman's is the oldest in Idaho. So that's kind of impressive, too.
Something else that's pretty cool is his father also served as president, and his great-grandfather, and several uncles as well. Great uncles.
So that brings me to the generational aspect of, I'm probably going to like completely slaughter all this terminology when it comes to beef, because we had this conversation, I believe, at Cowboys Pastime in Bruno, where I first met Lynn. I was out at Tiffany's and we met up with Lynn for lunch. Anyway, we got talking about beef and it really, really intrigued me. Lynn's extremely knowledgeable. However, back to the generational thing. You are the fifth generation of cattling or cowing or cattle growing or beefing. Tell me the right word.
Rancher.
Rancher. Okay. Duh. That's right up there with the Fuji and the Fiji water I did a couple episodes back. Okay, ranching, cow ranching.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yes.
Although I have seen Tiffany pick up some pigs before. She did a little story on grabbing pigs. I believe it was in Emmett.
Those are 4-H. That's
4-H. That's 4-H. Okay, that was for like Jacob and whatnot. Okay, so just sticking to the cattle. So you're fifth. So now your kids are sixth generation.
Yep.
That's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, the ancestors, they showed up in from Austria some 1876, and for whatever reason, we're still here.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of really, really good reasons why you guys are still here. For one, I'm sure you guys love the area, right? Is it what settled right in Bruno?
No. So there's always two parts to a family, and my dad's side, the Bachman line, they were up in the mountains near Silver City.
Okay.
And his mom's line, they were settled in Bruno.
Okay.
So the place dad lives in, his mom was born in, I think it's been in the family for over 100 years.
Wow. That's crazy. And we'll bring in the lovely wife, Tiffany. Tiffany, where do you hail from in Idaho?
I grew Idaho, up, right? Actually, I came from a dairy farm originally out on the salmon track. And then that was my grandparents' place. Mom and dad worked for them. And then we moved to Filer, which is really not that far from the salmon track out near Rogerson. And we lived there and lived on the dairy with worked for my uncle until I was about a fourth grader. And then we moved to Buell and changed lives and moved into the big town of Buell. And
which I saw on Google when I Googled Tiffany Bachman.
Yes, that's where we graduated. That's where I graduated high school from. And then I went to college at NNU in Nampa, and when I was a junior, I crossed paths with Lynn here in Boise, actually. Actually, Southeast Boise, even.
Even better.
And kind of the rest is history.
We talked about that story briefly.
Yes, we did.
Over beers. We won't embarrass Lynn. All right. So that's good. So Idahoans, really. I mean, you guys have been here. You've been here.
Well, I've got to jump into that.
Okay, do you? Okay, jump in.
Where we met.
Okay.
So there's the funny joke of small towns, right? And family trees not having many branches.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working over here in Boise, and people ask why, and I usually tell him I was trying to find somebody I wasn't related to marry.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
She's so, not joking.
I believe so that. I believe it.
Half the community I was already related to, then my brother married a gal, and in one day we were related to the other half. So I kind of had to.
You had to branch out.
Branch out a little bit.
Well, that's good. That's good. Your kids are thankful. Well, we'll leave that there. So when I met you, Lynn, Tiffany and I were talking, I believe you started talking like charcuterie, which takes me to like the savory. So I know Tiffany, just a quick background before I get in. Tiffany and I know each other from both of my sides of my business, Savory and Sweet, which she has used me for a couple of events that she's done, and more specifically, Salvage Sisters and Son. We just did our live last, was it last week, the week before?
It was like a week ago Friday.
Geez, a week ago. It feels like forever, but that was so much fun. Anyway, that's how Tiffany and I know each other. And Tiffany and I got to talking about charcuterie and, you know, them being ranchers and whatnot. I was like, oh my gosh, if your husband ever could get into doing charcuterie, of course, that would be, you would use beef because they use beef, they use lamb, they use pork. I mean, there's all sorts of aspects that go into that. And
beef,
that was
beef's a little harder.
It is, yeah.
You have to use the really lean cuts in that if you're going to go into the charcuterie on the beef, just because the fat oxidizes at a different rate than, say, pork.
Right. So we were talking about that, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that would be amazing. It's like that would be like Idaho. It's currently right now I procure my charcuterie out of Denver, Colorado. So we sat down, we had lunch, and I started really chatting with Lynn about butchering beef, and I became very intrigued, and I wanted to buy a cow to eat from them. And I love the beef that I got from you guys. And I know that at the time, Lynn, you were saying, I don't know if I really want to get into that again, because had you guys done that before? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how, you know, why you were in it. Why did you guys get into it as a family, I suppose, right? And then why did you get out? And then that'll segue us into creating of Farmhouse Provisions.
Well, we'd sold some halves and quarters to some neighbors, but unless you've grown up around locker beef, it can kind of be surprising what you get.
Right.
And there's some education that needs to happen on the consumer side that really wasn't there at that time.
How long ago was this?
Oh, shoot. 10 years ago?
Probably. Eight to 10 years.
Yeah, because I think that when, you know, I think when consumers like myself, you know, I mean, I grew up in Oregon, so we raised cows and lambs and pigs, and we would, you know, have them slaughtered, and we would have that on our table. So I always know what I'm going to get into. Sometimes, you know, you're like, well, Chucky here didn't taste quite as well as Billy Goat did, you know, however long ago. So
well,
I think that's important.
COVID has changed that too a little bit. People are more familiar with like what a quarter of a beef looks like or a half, or, you know, because they're wanting to have a freezer full. But
sure. But taste wise, I think that's what you're referring to when you're talking about consumer education, maybe how it tastes on our palate.
Well, there's that, but just the
cuts and
the cuts and the packaging and the size of your packages, depending on if you have if you're going to be a family, you might want more steaks in the one package,
right?
Instead of singles, if you're
exactly.
And there was just a lot of room there where folks didn't understand and were a little surprised and things like that. So We kind of backed away from it for a while.
How long were you guys? So that was 10 years ago, and then you guys just went ahead and decided. Well, when I was talking to you, excuse me here, I've got like a, I'm going to take another sip of my beer, although that's what caused that. When I was talking with you, that's when I was saying, I really wanted to invest in a beef. And you're like, gosh, if you really do, like, you know, we haven't done this in a long time, and we jumped in. You said you had one ready to go, and we got it. And I don't know. I feel like that whole process went well. You guys told me how many pounds it was going to be, you know, who was going to cut in. I think Greenfield?
Greenfield's Customs.
And I think that was kind of a learning curve for us, too, was that we worked on, from doing it earlier on. You know, we figured out what we needed to educate the person that was interested, you know, the consumer, you know, and let them know what they, the decisions they needed to make, how thick, what we recommended,
right?
How much actual grind burger, you mm-hmm. know, they were getting off of that. In between that time, we also sold to a company where we sold beef, and it was Blue Apron, like the meal delivery boxes.
Are you
and
serious?
We sold grass finished beef to them for a while. But you know, it kind of got to the point where we finally figured out that, and maybe it's kind of we grew up too, but I have sold vintage and done handmade home decor and traveled all over the Pacific Northwest doing shows. And we fell in love with some of our customers. And actually, you know, that's how you and I met originally. Mm-hmm. And we figured out that that was kind of something that was missing from our, like the ranching business, our beef business, was that connection with people that were eating our beef. And so once we kind of figured out that really my customer and the people that we, you know, loved and wanted to serve was the same customer that might be eating our beef, kind of helped tie that all together and kind of looped us back into this is what we really need to be doing.
Okay, good. I mean, and I think that I love my husband, but he's gone a lot. So
he has gone a lot
of times I say I do mean we. And when I say we, I do mean like from afar. It's a we thing. But I did have to go pick up this beef. And I did get the phone. I asked you, like, how should I get this? What do you recommend? Because it had been a long time for me as a consumer to mm-hmm. buy beef like that. And you gave your recommendations on the thickness of the steaks and whatnot. And then Greenfield was extremely helpful when they called me, letting me know, you know, about the different cuts. And
yeah,
they educated me as well.
The custom butcher guys have come a long way since 10 years ago, too.
Okay.
Because they're dealing with more public,
sure,
not just the rancher cutting up his own beef for his own use. Or
and so was there, in that situation, was it more just kind of like a standard? You got this. You really didn't have a say.
Yeah, it was, right? They did it, and you dropped it off, and you picked it up when it was ready, and there wasn't a whole lot of choices.
That's pretty much a crapshoot. Okay, yeah.
So with the industry that farmed a consumer market that's kind of opened up a little bigger in the last probably 2 years, the custom butcher plants, they've been educated as well, and they can help with that interface with that consumer.
Right. So yeah, I was able to get a really good mix. I was shocked actually at really how much I got. I was super shocked, as a matter of fact. I had to.
Cows are pretty big.
Well, and yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, how, you know, I could throw it in the outside freezer. I was panicking. Do I need to buy a freezer? I was calling Ed. Do we need a freezer? He's like, I think you can get it here and there. And this was before I was making a trip back home for Thanksgiving to spend with Ed and the kids. And whatever was in my freezers was no longer there because I had to put all that meat in there. But that being said, they did a great job cutting and wrapping, and it's some of the best damn beef, I gotta say, that I've ever had. I mean, seriously. Well, I am so happy with it.
So you got an interesting piece.
Oh,
yours is it's a grass finished 4 year old heifer.
Is that nice?
That's fabulous.
That's fabulous. So I got a special.
Have you ever had veal?
I have.
And the color is
yes,
real pale.
Yes, very paley.
There's not a lot of flavor to it. That's usually mm-hmm. why it's breaded or different
right.
things. It beef is kind of like wine. The older it is, the more flavor it develops.
Okay. Oh.
So the American
talked about this too.
The American palate is accustomed to grain finished
mm-hmm.
and 18 months of age.
Oh.
That's kind of the target that
seems
they hit.
Quick too.
And so like right now we're calving, and that animal won't be ready for harvest for at least 2 years.
Oh, okay. Gosh, then I should feel very privileged. All that.
You got some really great.
You got a good one.
Thanks. I appreciate that so much.
But thank you. We do appreciate that. And I love that you love it.
I wanted to jump in, and I was so invested in you guys doing this again, just from like a friendship and a consumer and selfishly savoring Swedish, like going, let's figure this out. How are we going to be able to do this? That I was so stoked. Oh my gosh. I was thrilled that you guys did that. Because I know that wasn't something, it may have been in your plan, but I wasn't totally aware of what was coming down the pipeline. So I was really appreciative of getting that for your heifer grass finished.
Yep, that one was grass finished.
Okay, so that's awesome. All right, so.
What we're selling right now is kind of the main product line that will be grain finished, and then we're going to do some grass finished. Because grass finished is a difficult process to have year round.
Okay, because you guys have to move these. You guys are moving these cows, right?
Well, and if you look outside right now, it's the middle of March, and the grass still isn't really growing here in Idaho. So there's it's kind of a seasonal product.
Okay,
the grass finished.
Okay, so so take me now from our lunch, my beef in our refrigerator, because that's gonna listen to this podcast, and I want to make sure.
Yeah, hey, I live here too. It's okay. I do it, and he lives with me. I'm like, I know. This is my car and my pickup and my house.
I even was telling my. This is a just off the track, but I was even telling Ed the other day. I was like, yeah, I just put our bed back together because you know you get used to talking in those pronouns that are just I don't know
whatever they are. Yeah,
however it works. Anyway, so take me how you and Tiffany. I know your wife is, well, we'll get into this at the tail end, but you have at the farmhouse, you have Farmhouse Noble, and we have Farmhouse Provisions. So the whole thing, which I love, Farmhouse, that's great. I like how it all stays together. That's like Salvage Sisters and Sons, Salvage Coffee Co. It's kind of nice, I think, to have, you know, the same, you know, in your businesses. But how did you guys finally make the decision? Okay, look. We're going to go ahead and jump in, and we're going to go ahead and start doing this beef and, you know, providing it to the public.
Well,
that wasn't probably easy.
There were a few other people like yourself that were a little more interested in I don't know what you call it, food security. A year ago, the store shelves were empty. There was the big run after the COVID shutdown.
Absolutely.
So there were a lot of folks trying to
figure out how to stay fed.
Yep. Yeah. And be able to provide for their families. So we happened to have a few beef that were ready at that time, and that was kind of the start of where we're at now. But I mean, Farmhouse Provisions, what are we, not even a year yet?
As a
standalone company.
Okay.
So I guess COVID kind of pushed us into this, really.
Yeah, and I'm super glad that you guys did. I know that when we were talking, I was like, you got to do it, Lynn. You just got to do it. Like, get back into it. Because I really feel, and now that I say that and we're having that discussion so long ago, there have been several other ones that have popped up. I'm not going to even begin to try to figure out their names because I've seen them, but they're not in my head right now, which are also doing similar type packages.
I'll give you some kind of facts. Every week in the United States, there are 450,000 to 600,000 beef killed.
Harvested.
Every week.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I like how Tiffany said harvested. And is that a better word than killed?
Politically correct.
It is, but I mean, let's be honest, that's what's happening.
If you come
right?
from a They're ranch, if you come from a farm, right. you know the thing. But sometimes it's the warm and fuzzy word and it's all
that's okay. Well, so harvested.
So there's enough room in the market for
a lot
of us.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that, you know, I mean, some of our friends, neighbors, I mean people that we know
meat.
Very, very closely. I mean, one company
I went to school with him.
Yeah, some of their children were in our wedding. Like,
right.
I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. And, you know, there's really room in the market for everyone. And we, you know, have some of them have helped us a little bit. And hopefully at some point we can, you know, offer advice to some of them as well.
Right.
That's kind of something I've learned in my getting a little older is that
you are so not even, dude, we've had this discussion.
I'm closer to 40
so
than I am 30,
times.
Just Eslyn.
And I am way closer to 60 than I am anything else.
But, you know, it's not really about competition anymore.
No.
It's just finding your niche and, you know, going at it and working hard. And
I also think that each brand, each farmer, each rancher, they all have their own flavor, I imagine, right? I mean, like, I feel, I don't know, would I be able to, if I ordered a box from another rancher of their beef, is there a taste profile that varies from region to region, farm to farm?
You'll have some taste difference between, say, grain finished and grass finished.
Grass, for sure.
And when I say grass finished, I mean well finished grass. Not
correct.
It takes time.
Quote unquote grass finished.
I get
you. It takes time
right.
to really.
You're not throwing your clippings out to them and
finish one.
Right.
And that's why I don't believe you can do a good job with one unless you're into that 2-3 year, 30 months of age.
Oh, of the cow.
Yeah, of the animal
of
itself.
Of the animal, okay.
Yep. So there, you'll have that. And if it's done really well, you won't really taste a lot of difference. You'll feel, there'll be a mouthfeel difference.
Okay.
With the fat, it has a lower melting point.
Okay.
So it'll be cleaner on the palate.
Right, okay.
I don't know if you've noticed that with the one you have.
I don't think, and the family that I've shared it with, I mean, all of us are just like, wow.
And like, then
it's amazing.
So you've got your standard beef that you'd pick up at, say, Albertsons or whatever, USDA Choice. That's 18 months grain fed for 120 days, 130 days on feed. I mean, it's good meat.
Sure.
The other thing that it changes our meat's flavor compared to a say your commodity beef is it's dry aged.
Right. Okay.
So we end up with 20% moisture loss from the day that they're harvested to the day they're cut. And it just intensifies the flavor.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah, we talked about that dry aging thing too.
So you'll end up with.
Can you explain what that actually means? Because I think there's a lot of people out there that don't really
well,
know
and
what
I think
that,
that we like. You go into some of the places, like, I don't know about Whole Foods, but I know I've seen it
Albertsons
the marketplace in Broadway. They have that huge thing, and you see that meat in there, and you see it all kind of almost
kinda
crispy
funky.
On
yeah.
the outside, and you're like, shit, I don't know about that, you know?
It's got a little funk to it.
Yeah.
So
but I imagine it's tasty.
Theirs is a little different because they're just doing a certain piece of meat. They're not doing the whole animal.
Right, like a ribeye.
Yep.
Stack
so they'll take that higher valued piece of that carcass and age it. So they're pulling theirs out of a bag that's been vacuum sealed. It's what they call wet aging.
Okay.
And they pull it out of there and then they'll throw it in that climate controlled cooler for another 45 days or whatever they want on that, depending.
Okay.
And but that's just that piece. We do the whole carcass.
Okay.
The whole animal gets that same treatment for. So you end up with that flavor through the ground beef, the rounds, the chucks, all the animal, not just that one primal.
Does that make it more expensive per pound?
I mean, it's
a little bit
better. So yeah,
right.
And we lose that 20.
With anything.
You sell on the pound, and we lose 20% of our moisture right off the top, so that has to be adjusted into that that final price.
Gotcha. Because I just feel like I know that whenever I go to the grocery store, you know, even though I open my freezer to pull out, well, there's not much room. So let me, for anything outside of beef, let me just say, but say I'm pulling out, I don't know, some frozen fresh apricots or, you know, apricots or something that I have in there. Even though I'm seeing that meat every day, I forget that I've got a freezer full of meat. So I will walk into Albertsons and I'll start to walk back to the, and I'm like, what the fuck? I definitely
you see the cooler.
Do like, not need this beef. I've got some rockin' beef back at home. So, you know, I've got to get into that mindset. I still walk by it. But I'd say opening up a package of ground beef from Farmhouse Provisions versus the ground beef that I used to get at other stores. I don't want to slam Albertsons. Everyone, know, all
the chains, the above. All the above.
It doesn't even matter. Just the stores. Way different. Of course, my ground beef has other meat product in it that I didn't want to use as something else.
Yes, for sure.
So and, that's
and your ground
great.
Beef's from one cow.
Yes. Oh.
You go to the grocery store and it might come from different countries.
Oh. Like in a, so a little dabble from here and a little dabble from there.
Yep.
Interesting.
All the trim goes into one thing and then it just goes through the grinder. So that's the other thing about that is, I mean, those extra cuts that go into the ground beef, that's probably where I notice the biggest difference between like commercial beef or, you know, grocery store beef is really in the ground beef.
I gotta agree
with
that.
It is night and day difference.
I don't know how many times I've probably told Tiffany, oh my gosh, I just made burritos, or oh my gosh, I made Mexican food thing, but I am Mexican, but still. Or, you know, hamburgers.
We eat a lot of ground beef at our house.
We go through
lots of tacos.
Every time I take out another one of those logs of ground beef, I'm like, fuck, I'm down one log. Now I got to like figure out how to savor.
You know, and a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, 50% of it's burger, you know, of a cow.
Trust me. Oh my gosh.
But if you taste that burger, it's really unreal.
It's incredible. It's incredible. All right, so Farmhouse Provisions, you guys are ramping up with that. Tell me so we talked about, you know, the aging of your cattle, how their grain and grass finished time and whatnot. Let's talk about now how, because this is called Curating Boise, so I want to talk about how you guys are getting your goodness into the fine city of Boise. Because I see it on social media. I see your Instagram. I see where you guys are loading it up. You're delivering. Tiffany's making some runs down here. Lynn, you've been involved in runs down here too. You know, boxing up. Let's talk about that. Because I think a lot of Boiseans are going to want to jump on this Farmhouse Provisions.
So just to kind of start out with that, we do ship. That's one big question we get a lot, or I get a lot on the social media side of it, is do you guys ship?
Yeah.
Yes, we ship all over the country. I had somebody just reach out to me today that was like, hey, I'd love to send some steaks to my nephew. He's in New York. Can we do that? Yes, of course you can. You can, you know, go to our website. It's a gal who's a friend of mine that lives in Boise here, and she wants to mail a gift. So we do ship all over the U.S., including to Boise even. And it's an easy ground ship to Boise. We also have kind of started trying to work on some pickup dates. The problem with those is we run several businesses. So
right. No, I get it. It's
something that's working in the future that, you know, I might throw up there. Hey, I'm going to be in Boise next Thursday. Use this code to be able to meet me and pick up your beef. You can make your order and pick up the beef. So you'd kind of just follow us on social media and you can see those. They will start to be listed on the website as well. But shipping to Boise is actually really, really reasonable. If you order any of the food boxes or anything like that, you know, it's kind of just the same general. We ship either 2-day air or ground, depending on the area. And it comes packed with dry ice and it'll arrive frozen and you throw it in your freezer and use it as needed.
Wow.
And then Lynn can add to that.
Add to it, Lynn.
Well, we actually store our meat here in town.
Oh, okay. So it's here in Boise.
Yeah.
Even better.
Over at Boise Cold Storage.
Okay, nice.
So.
Yeah, because I was wondering about that when I was seeing.
You're like, how are you doing
where
this?
Where is this cold storage at exactly? Man.
Yeah, so it's just downtown.
Buell or something.
Just downtown Boise here.
Okay.
And that's where we've got our product stored.
So when you get an order.
Yep.
Even at Boise or if it's going to New York, you guys haul ass over here. You guys,
we've got some help? Freezers there at home on the ranch that we keep stocked with every cut, but not
The volume.
Right. So we you can handle the small orders.
Yep. We can pull orders from home there on the ranch, and then we pull from here to restock that to go back out.
Sounds like we need to have you guys, even at Salvage Sisters and Son, you guys can take that same sweet side and do that, offer that so people can come.
Yeah, we've talked about doing kind of some backyard parties if anybody's interested in hosting one, where we come and make some, you know, invite the neighbors. We can do a block party now that maybe COVID's
things are opening up more.
Yeah, for sure.
Loosening up.
That's kind of where, you know, we're hoping to connect with the Boise market. I traveled so much with so a lot of our contacts and customer base is more Pacific Northwest, a little bit further away, but that's kind of what our hope is, you know, we aren't going to be able to make the farmer's market, every Saturday or every whatever it is, because, you know, by the time we rant, you know, Lynn also farms as well and ranch, and we have three kids of our own. Yeah. And so we can't be over here every Sunday, but we would love to be able to, you know, do those kind of connections, that kind of a thing.
I think that's a great idea. I think definitely we should talk about, you know, doing when I like do one of the pop-ups at the shop, have you guys there. We could even run a grill or something.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's super important for people to be able to taste it too. Man.
It really is, in the smell and all of it that goes along. The wonderful thing about Lynn is an amazing cook. He like levels on the same as you, Catherine. And I'll bake. That's what I can do.
Yeah.
I think that adds to the whole mix of it, and recipes and just different things that makes it just a little bit different. Lynn is definitely the main cook at our house.
Well, I think that's super important that the rancher, you know, who works in taking his cattle, you know, off his land and providing it to a household is a good chef. You know, in his own right,
it kind of comes full circle.
I just like to eat, though.
Well, you do, but
I learned how to cook.
And you have to you know how to flavor the beef that you provide, because I know that, you know, Farmhouse Provisions on your Instagram, every now and then it's like, this is what we put on our ribeyes, this is what we throw on our burgers, and I love seeing that.
Yeah, here's a quick trick to cook a roast that's frozen. Yeah, whatever
absolutely.
We can do.
Absolutely. I think that's really, really
important.
And
we hope to do more of that, too, and provide, you know, recipes for some of those offcuts, because that's what I think is kind of fun about getting, you know, a whole cow or a quarter or a half or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or even the bundles.
One of the Rancher's bundles. Choice bundles, because you can get on there and order a bundle, and it'll be X amount of pounds, and Lynn and I get to pick that meat. I mean, you'll get some steaks, you'll get some roast, you'll get some burger.
And then your freezer's not overflowing.
Yeah. That's all right.
That's all right.
I'm so happy. It's barely shuts, but.
But with that, you get to try some different stuff. And, you know, you get some short ribs, or you might get an oxtail, and you can either
braise it and make it nice.
Yeah, make it hearty. Experiment a little bit. We do also offer beef shares as well, which is kind of like what you got, Catherine. Right now we actually have, two available. Is that right? One and a half available. So you can either, we have a cow and a half, and this works really awesome for local people. It's like ready to go right now. It's a little bit different than your story was this time, but, we have either a half or a quarter or a whole available. Those are ready right now, and that helps people that really want to stock up a little bit more.
And are those going would that cow be going to Greenfield, or no?
It's already done. It's already done. Oh, okay. It's ready.
All right.
I'm going to pick it up tomorrow.
Okay. Excellent. So let's talk about super quick. We're at around, you know, we've got about 5 more minutes. I want to talk about how you guys box up your stuff. So I know online you said that there's the farmer's choice or rancher's choice. What do you call it? Farmer's choice?
Rancher's choice.
I like rancher better than farmer anyway. So you guys get to pick what goes in there. You can also buy like 10 pounds of ground beef if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Does the ground beef come packaged in 1 pound packs?
They do.
Okay. I got mine in 2 pound, or 1.5, I think is what I got mine in. And then they could pick any type of steak. They could pick roasts, whatever.
Yeah, everything's listed on there. I mean, okay. If you want to order two ribeyes, you can mm-hmm. order two ribeyes. Or the Rancher's Choice bundle just helps cut the price down on your ribeyes or, you know, whatever you might want. Because, you know, you'll get, like I said before, some steaks, some roasts, some, you mm-hmm. know, different things, some ground beef.
So on the breakdown on a cow is 50% of the product that comes out of it's ground beef.
Right.
So then you got 20% that's going to be in that steaks. You got 20% that'll be in roasts. And then you've got that remainder of your ossobuco shank.
Right.
Soup bone, your oxtail, those kind of little bit different things.
And I don't want any of you guys listening to this to get like scared off by those percents. Like you said, 50%, right? Ground beef.
Yeah. And that's if you're buying a whole animal.
Right. But I'm going to say, the percents to me, at first I was kind of like, but you would be amazed at how many roasts you end up with.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
many for steaks sure. I have.
If you're doing a share, short exactly. ribs?
Oh my gosh.
And a lot it's of crazy. People, we have a friend here that lives in town, Justin from Betterman Beard, and him and his wife purchased from us, and they said, you know, this is great. We don't have enough space to store a quarter of a cow or a half. We get on and order a bundle once a month and we're good to go.
Yeah, that's great.
And he says, fill a box. It's all I want. Fill me some random stuff and it's fun to cook. It's unique. It adds something different.
Yep. And I think having all the variations in the freezer really, you know, gets that creativity going too. We get very used to just going and grabbing ground beef to make a burger and grabbing just like a T-bone steak or something, you know. I like going to my freezer and going, okay, wait, I forgot. What do I have? And, you know, like looking at it and going, ooh.
This sounds good for.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, exactly. So where do you guys feel like farmhouse provisions is going to go? I know you guys are still young. It's still new. You guys are still, you know, as far as, you
closer
know.
Closer to 40.
As far, closer to 40, yeah. All right, youngins. As far as, you know, you're not new to the cow game, that's for sure. But, I mean, your farmhouse provisions is new after so many years. Where do you see? Are you wanting to, like, maybe get your beef into a restaurant, one selective restaurant in Boise or in the Treasure Valley? I would shoot for Boise because I love Boise. A lot of really good eateries here. There's eateries that are starting up, too, that are looking for something new and different, and maybe farmhouse provisions would fit one of those.
We're open to work with anybody. We're proud of our product, and
it's a damn good product.
We just want to share it.
Yeah. So that's something that you guys would be open to do.
Definitely are. Yeah. It's kind of just, that's kind of my connections. It's funny how many people you connect with over the course of it all. And you're like, all right, who do we know? Really? And in the grand scheme of this, who do we know?
And sometimes it's just, who do you know that you can knows, just be like,
yeah,
that knows beef or that's just willing to be like, hey, here, we're going to give you, you know,
try this,
these ribeyes, throw these on your menu and see what your customers say. Cause I know that sometimes there's a lot of give when you're starting out, you know, which is how you build, right?
Always.
So in the Treasure Valley, how far have you guys delivered? Or sent to in the Treasure Valley?
Within the Treasure Valley, we have shipped to or delivered to. We've done to Boise several times. We've done Nampa a couple of times. I mean, just, you know, you get your people. Like I said, a lot of my, like our customers come from my clientele. So it's, the circle's a little bit bigger. But that's kind of where we hope to get is more, a little bit closer to home. The shipping's cheaper for everybody. Right. Or we can do pickup days. You know, if we get a good, nice, full pickup day, I mean,
that's
we can meet at cold storage and, you know, hand out beef.
Yeah, that'd be great. Really, really good. Your kids, before we get a sign off here, what about the kids? I know Jacob's out there. Elsie's out there. Oh, your little one. So adorable.
She loves Lily. Her Catherine.
Oh my gosh. They're all your kids are gorgeous. They all seem really involved. And they're all going to be, you think, ranchers? You're going to stick around and ranch?
I don't know.
You know.
Or that generation's got bigger dreams outside of Bruno?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff going on in your place.
Yeah.
They're
I don't expect them to. It would be wonderful if they do.
Right.
But I'm not going to shoulder them with that burden.
Okay. All right. That's okay.
Because, it's a sixth generation ranch. You got to stay.
You're stuck.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
You don't want to put
go
that
do
on
something
anybody.
For a little while for sure.
Well, oh, yeah. Go out, right?
Go see the world.
Well, just like you did. You went, you ventured out to Boise to find someone you weren't related to. So you did.
And I traveled working. I went all the way across the country building targets for the Air Force. So.
Okay. Super. Yeah. I think it's super important to allow kids the time away. Yeah. Eventually you always make your circle back.
Yeah. And if they don't, that's okay too. They're going to know how to work hard and
right.
probably be little entrepreneurs of their own.
Yeah. So everyone listening, if you guys have any more questions about farmhouse provisions, please reach out to me. You can shoot me a DM at Savory and Sweet Inc. or Salvage Sisters and Son, letting me know that maybe you guys want some more information or you want to hear more from Lynn and Tiffany Bachman. You can also give them a follow at farmhouse.provisions on Instagram. And then
we're also on Facebook as well as Farmhouse Provisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on Facebook. And then the other two businesses that this cool family has, which is more on Tiffany's end, is at the farmhouse. And then they are working on a very, very old home on their property that they're going to be curating into an Airbnb. And that you can follow that journey at Farmhouse Noble, Noble, right?
And our website for the meat, you can get on there today and order meat if you would like. And
do it.
That is farmhouseprovisions.com.
Yeah, you guys get on this. I think that, the meat is amazing. There are a lot of choices. We all know we have choices. There's so many beers. There's so many whiskeys. There's, so much produce and whatnot. But give everyone a whirl, I think. I think if we all give everyone a taste, then, it spreads it out. Yeah, but farmhouse provisions, I think partial of that. So anyways, I want to thank you guys for driving all the way from Bruno.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And Lynn, as always, I think you're super insightful about ranching, and I could spend hours talking to you too. I enjoy your company a lot. I look forward to you guys meeting my husband, Ed.
I know, right?
Today?
I wish. Okay. I wish. Unless someone's surprising me, which would be awesome, but no, he's like you, Lynn, very, very busy working. But anyway, thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah. And you guys do curate Boise in many ways, so thank you. All right, everyone, thank you so much. Hey, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you guys like what you heard. If you want to listen to more episodes, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. To see how I'm doing my part in curating Boise, check out my Instagrams. At Savory N, that's the letter N, Sweet Inc., and at Salvage Sisters and Son. Tune in next week. Peace.